Gotta shoot that and one more in there. It's not originally Swedish, it's usually Scotch and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And Herb, his wife, I believe, is German and Irish. Arden's wife is Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim's wife, or Sonny, as you always call them, I believe she's Scotch. What a mixture.
Are they all still living, all your children?
Pardon?
Are all your children still living?
Yeah.
They're all still alive? Yeah. All in this, close to you, or?
And as far as sisters and brothers, I've lost one sister. The rest are still in there.
Yeah. I remember that new sister, Beth, is the one that
Beth died, yeah.
Passed away now.
Even this girl.
And your brother, Jim, where did he live?
Cloverdale. I can't tell you the address.
That's
I could take
okay.
you there, but I can't tell you the address. He's west of the fairgrounds.
And he was born in Saskatchewan as well?
Meota, Saskatchewan. M-E-O-T-A.
Is he married?
Oh, yes.
He's married, and how many children does he have?
Well, he's got two sons and a daughter.
And your sisters, there's Ada and there's still Ruth.
They never married.
They, neither one?
Ada has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She trusted a guy and then he come to find out he had a wife, so that crimped them up. But she raised her daughter.
She raised her daughter by herself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, as far as I know, never even had a boyfriend.
Oh, really? Was she...
Anytime anybody come around our place when the girls were growing up there, that dad used to ask in their business and make it uncomfortable, and they never come back. But as far as I know, she never was interested in getting married. And I don't know. That's just...
What did she do for...
She worked in a bakery when she first left home.
Mm-hmm.
There was two old ladies had a bakery in Vancouver, McKinnon Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's the name of the McKinnon Bakery anyway. And she was in there as long as that lasted. She even run that thing after the old ladies got too old to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
She right up until the city of Vancouver wanted that piece of ground they were on, I guess, and put them out of business. Then she stuck a stenographer course and went for the Army.
Oh.
Right up to retirement. Both sisters were active in church. And Ruth always had a whole flock of little kids hanging around.
Oh, did she?
She was good with kids. She had lots of friends in the anywhere she lived around, the mothers of these kids, they mm-hmm. loved her because she entertained them kids and it was all no nonsense. You know.
Oh, too bad you didn't
see. She's a bit of an artist and she used to have them paint and go and you name it, they
mm-hmm.
did it. She'll be missed when she's born.
Yeah.
I wish she's in the hospital right now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Last winter on the ice, she fell, she broke a hip and the elbow. But she was in the hospital quite a stretch with that. And here she fell again about 3 weeks ago and broke the other hip.
Mm-hmm.
She was in this year, about 10 days ago. She was cheerful.
Yeah.
If she gets any thinner, or she's going to fall apart.
It's pretty hard on them when that happens like that. There's a couple of things that you told me about that you can remember when you were younger, like with your sisters. It was when you were playing with them and one of them got burrs in their hair. And they got,
that was Ruth.
That was Ruth, yeah. And there was another one, your dad made you a wheelbarrow with no legs and that. Can you remember any other things like that? Because those are cute.
I got a lot of mileage out of that. I had a little terrier dog, fox terrier. And he'd ride too, and it got too rough, and he'd bail out. And I can remember, I don't think I was more than about 3 years old, They gave me a felt hat with Pinto, you know, spelled. Boy, I wore that thing. And there was a picture of that, and I don't know where it got to. I've seen that since my wife died, I've seen that picture, but I don't know where it is. No, I could try to find it again, I can't find it. All us kids. And that hat stands up there like a sore thumb.
Oh, really? Maybe Phyllis has that at home or something.
I don't know. But it disappeared anyway.
Mm-hmm. She could have it, you know.
Well, you see, there was a lot of pictures. They were pretty well divided up with the kids.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to.
And possibly someone got sore out too.
Yeah.
I got a picture of my mother when she was about 2-3 years ago. I haven't got it. Phyllis has it now.
Yeah.
There's only two of them. Sister Ada has the other one. Phyllis has an old album that my mother had.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few of those old tin pictures in that yet. There's a few of them in there. I know who they are, but I never seen them or anything. My mother's dad and mother is in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one of my mother there with 14 petticoats on makes her look like about as white as she is high. Copper-toed boots.
Yeah.
But they're a cute little girl. My mother was a little on the plump side, as I know her anyway.
She never got to meet any of, you had mentioned before that she never got to meet her wife or any of the, you know,
we never,
passed away.
We never survived her anything. There was none of us married before she died.
Yeah, you had mentioned
it wasn't too long after she died that I got married.
Mm-hmm.
She did know my wife.
Yeah, she introduced you, didn't she? Yeah. Yeah, I've got that down here.
That, I don't know whether she knew it before she died, if we were going to get married or not. We hadn't really planned that part of it yet.
And I asked you if there was any people who were important to you in your early years. Got a little bit of information on that. Like, you know, who did you sort of admire when you were, you know, when you were younger, you were growing up, other than your father? And
I didn't get that.
When you were younger than that, I've got a couple of names down here, like, were there any people who were important to you in your early years, like, who left an impression on you?
Oh, there were lots of nice people along the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Some not so nice, too.
What do you want to hear about those? What about the ones that you really sort of admired?
Well, the fellow that used to run the store here in Alderville, but he worked for him too, was Endicott. I don't know whether you knew Endicott or not. Harold Endicott, he died here some years ago. He's an old man in the 90s.
I knew of him.
Yes. Well, when I was trying to get established in the contracting business, if it hadn't been Endicott, I wouldn't have made it because my credit was good there and I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
He backed me all the way.
Mm.
Lots of people didn't like him, but he was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for him too. The last story I had there, I built the gondolas in there. And
where was that?
Straight over here now. But Dean's got it now, I think. The old store stood right in there. And that was demolished when they built that place. That was the bank when that was built.
Right.
That, would that be Dean's farm?
That came in after, that came in after the red and white store. I built the fixtures in that store for Endicott. You take right that wartime there just after. Nails was at a premium. You couldn't get nails no place. I got nails all the time.
Where did you get them from?
Endicott. You see, these dealers were allowed so much. They get it in there. They used to divide it out, but Generally, I got a keg of nails at a time when I wanted to eat. I needed a cement mixer. He got that.
And he got you that too.
He was a friend. Of course, I paid for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of people who didn't like him.
Did you get your schooling? You went to grade 7. Did you get it here in B.C. or was that in Saskatchewan?
Pardon?
Did you get your schooling in B.C. or in Saskatchewan?
Finished in Alberta.
Oh, Alberta.
I started school in Saskatchewan.
Uh-huh.
Then I had a year up at Slocan Park, over Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And balance was up in Alberta. Westwood Hole School.
Westwood Hole?
Westwood Hole. He's gone now. I was back there after wife died.
Yeah, it was gone then.
Old school was gone. They're hauling them kids to town. So we got ruined the whole business.
Mm-hmm.
Where there used to be somebody on every quarter section, now there's but one guy on about every three sections now. Big machinery, all gone broke.
Mm-hmm.
Oil wells in every second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There's two on the old farm we had. Now there's it's no good anymore. I built all that bush and stuff around there. Now they can't raise a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
When I was back there, the grain was about so high where it should have been up. When the trees grow, so does the moisture.
Yeah.
And people can't see that.
Then you moved here and you were, your father got the property up there on Ross Road, and that's where he had his store?
Yeah.
Ross up there.
First land he bought in Chicago, he was just west of town.
Yeah, you were mentioning that the other day.
It's all built up there now, all them, I don't know what the old townhouses or apartments or what.
Yeah, and then he sold that and then he moved out to Ross Road where he had his blacksmith shop.
Yeah, he bought 140 acres out there.
Oh, 148.
Yes, the Ross twins had 20 acres out of the quarter section before he got it. Mennonite Church is on part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fraser Way, when it was put through, went right through it, his quarter section, or pretty nearly in the middle of it. So we had land both sides of the road.
So you didn't go to school at all or get any schooling in B.C.?
Just that one year out at Slocan Park. Slocan Valley.
Mm-hmm. And you came in, when you were here with your dad, you helped him out and you got a job working at the milk plant.
Well,
how did you get back and forth to work?
Well, you either walked or done your best, next best thing to it. The first job I got in here was helping fella put up hay. In the prairie, when you go to work for somebody, you always, they fed you too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that in this country.
Not in B.C.?
No, I didn't know that. This fella, well, he was neighbor of Dad's there. Went up there, and I said, when it would come 12 o'clock, nobody said anything about eating. And finally he says, you bring a lunch? I said, no. Well, he said, if you eat with us, it's 40 cents. So, that pretty nearly floored me because we were not used to that. So anyway, I went home. I didn't get much 40 cents. But to make a long story short, when I come into the Depression, nobody had anything, and he was trying to build a house. And he could not put the windows in and the doors, they just didn't work. Well, I had that knowledge. So I used to work for these fellows. I'd do the carpenter work. And they'd come back and give me 2 days laboring, you know, clearing land or what to have you. So anyway, he'd come up there and I went down and put in his windows. But I guess he learned a lesson because I got coffee break in the morning,
mm-hmm.
dinner, and then again in the afternoon, kind of overdid it, but I guess it kind of registered.
That's good. That's good.
I could never understand why people made such a great big issue of giving somebody helper a bite to eat. Dad run a blacksmith shop for years. all his customers come in and eat there. Some of them stayed overnight if they had a big job. They never was charged for that.
See, that's the prairie in from.
Pardon?
That comes from living
that's
on the prairie. Definitely, yeah.
But the caribou is quite a bit that way too. But they're changing because they're getting people from all over crowding in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you was anywhere near anybody's place at mealtime, it was not uncommon to go in and sit down and eat with them.
And have a supper with them.
Most of them, if they knew you at all, they called you. They seen you around.
Yeah, it was just naturally expected that you'd be there.
People, like, they loved each other. And you take there in Alberta, we was in there in the 20s. And a lot of bad roads and stuff. People that lived 20 to 30 miles out went to town with a load or something, a team of horses. Maybe on their way back home or on their way in, they'd stop at different neighbors. They wasn't charged for it.
No.
They took them in. There was one old lady in particular, an old Scotch lady, all crippled up. That was a stopping place. She never charged. A lot of them gave her a little, you know, but there was no charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way people were them days.
Yeah.
That's in the 20s, early 20s.
Yeah. What was the weather like back then? Well, you know, did we have our nice winters out here, or like when you moved out here, or was it cold?
Well, I think the weather, I believe, has milded it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they drive cars all winter all over. Now they plow snow and everything else. But out there, when it comes, the snow fell first time, you put the car up on blocks and you sat there until the roads were good in the spring. Otherwise, you didn't go no place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Gumbo or mud holes. Model T's wasn't famous for being overpowered. Dad had a Model T, and he taught blacksmithing in the old agriculture college there one winter. But we lived 18 miles out. In the fall of the year when the weather got cold, those old T's were hard to start. And we had a black mare. They put her on there, start her down the road, and when that old car started to fire, why, she'd stop. He'd get out, he'd hang the chain and the weaponry on her hams, and she'd go back to the barn. She was good at that. Just a young mare too, you know. She knew just how far she'd go. She wouldn't go any farther after that thing started to fire, but it was all figured out. Then when she came back to the barn, if somebody there would put her in,
mm-hmm.
that was it. Then when the snow come, he used to drive in with the driving team unless it got too bad, then he'd stay over in town.
Yeah.
You could go with the Chinaman's in there, and you could get a room for 50 cents. You could get all you could eat for 50 cents. And 50 cents a livery barn for the two horses.
Went a long way.
I hauled grain from home, and he had it. And he used to give me $1. And I started out in the morning, about 8 o'clock on the road. Team of horses and a load of wheat. Well, that was 50 cents for the horse and 50 cents for my dinner. And come back home again afterwards. About 4.5 to 5 hours to make that trip 18 miles there. And that was making good time. But it was a little better coming home because you could trot your horse a little. It wasn't loaded.
Yeah.
But that's a long day for a team of horses too, you know. 36 miles or better.
Just under gravel road. They worked.
But there's another point in there too. Most of the young guys in around there, reaching the late teens, they all had ideas of being cowboys. Because there was quite a bit of stock raised in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to get in on the drive one time and take some cattle in from way out west of Sundry. Wild ones, some of them 4 years old and never been handled. Oh boy, what an outfit. And I had a little mare that I got from a fellow. She was from a wild bunch. And you couldn't always depend on her, you know. She'd go wild every once in a while. But we took that cattle in. We made over 20 miles there one day with them. And a lot of running. I thought, boy, I have to take a fire out of her. So, but in the town, she was still kind of a bit spooky, so I head back home again. That was an awful long day. And she bucked me off in the barnyard. She just took her head between her knees and away I went. I taught the book. Pep, she had lots of it.
Oh my God.
As pretty as a picture.
Yeah.
Her mane hung prettier to her knees, you know.
Oh, really?
She was a dark brown, and just as trim as if she was carved out of marble. But you never knew what was coming next. There was a game warden who caught her and broke her. And it was not uncommon for him to go into town or something to admire his horse. Well, he says, I'll bet you $5 you can't ride her. They generally lost their $5, but there were very few of them who could ride her. But he could ride her. I could ride her after I learned her tricks. But lots of times she left me walking. To top it all off, I worked at a place there one spring in the crop. There was a girl there the same age as me. And I was going to go somewhere for this one Sunday anyway. I had the little mare saddled, was ready to take off. When I climbed on, well, she unloaded me right there. And she started to laugh. She says, you're so smart. I said, if you can ride her, you can have her. She rode her. I lost my horse. She showed me up. That's just part of the fun we would have. They used to meet at different places and possibly run in two or three steers or two horses. Open range there, you know. Some lot of those old broke horses had been ridden before and then turned out for a year. Well, they go back. Mm-hmm. Then they draw straws. Who's going to ride what? Well, anyway, come my time, I had a nice white shirt on. I'd all dressed up real nifty. All the girls in the district was on the corral fence watching too, us guys. I got this little black mare, about the third jumper and me part of company. And the cows had been in that corral first, you know what they'd be like.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went on my belly and slid up there, you can imagine what I looked like when I got up. My day was finished, I went home. Mother said, where in the world have you been? So that was the bathtub. And those girls gave you the ha-ha-ha, you know. And the best part was that horse, one of those girls had been riding her to school the year before. But it's funny how they go back to the wild quick.
Yeah.
Broncos. I never was no professional cowboy anyway. I broke the odd one, it was two or three of them broke me.
Well, what did you used to do with the horses that you had, the small little Arabs and that? Did you show them or?
No.
You just used
just
them
for pleasure.
Just for pleasure.
I never did ride that little stallion.
Oh, didn't you?
But the people that got them, there was a teenage girl there, and soon they got him home, she was on him on the way down the road. There wasn't a mean bone in him.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, Jerry.
Did he have a registered name?
Yes, he was a registered horse. I'll get that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, he was registered. He had papers.
Uh-huh.
I paid $1,500 for him. He was 2 years old. Couldn't have got a divorce over that, too.
That's not good. It'll come to you.
My son Jim has a daughter of his yet. She's up, she might be 15, 16 years old. Lame. But
mm-hmm.
She's a pretty little mare too. She's gray.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Nifty. Funny, I can't think of his name. We call him Jerry anyway for short. You know, they talk about stallions being mean. The wife would go out, he'd meet her at the gate, and if she was going back in the field, well, he'd walk right behind her with his head over her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He liked women. And my daughter Pat lived up the hill there, and he seemed to know when she was coming down, he'd go meet her. The same trick. He just couldn't be mean.
No, they're not mean.
No. I think I had four or five quotes from him. There was only one male, the rest were all females.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of them still alive or not, except Nifty down there. Of course, she'd been lame for years. She was only half broke when she went lame.
So he has her down in Cloverdale, eh?
No, it's my son that's gone.
Oh, your son that's gone.
She's down here in Simpson Road.
Okay.
I don't know what he keeps her for. Costs money to keep a horse. She's no good on her to look at. She's pretty smart. Yeah, she loves peppermints.
Yeah. Well, that picture that you showed me of your, you know, where your grandson lives, would that be her out there in the back field, or is that one of your...
A gray one?
Mm-hmm.
It's possibly her.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to talk to her. So what else can you remember, Mr. Weatherby?
Well, the comedy end, I don't really... It hits you every once in a while, but you don't think of it very often. We had an English neighbor, a well-educated man. I don't know why in the world he came out there to farm in the first place. And he had one of the poorest layouts as a farmer was. It was right on the river flat. And it used to freeze there in midsummer. But anyway, he was sticking with that. He'd milk a few cows, shipping a little cream. Mm-hmm. The place was filthy. Oh God, and flies. I went down there to scoop grain. I undertook to wash his cream separator. Between throwing up and scrubbing, I finally got it cleaned up. The bowl was just loaded with cow manure and everything else in here. I don't know how in the deuce he ever got rid of his cream. But if he let the grain bullets, he went up for a few trips after I washed it anyway. I couldn't eat there. I tried a couple of times. I couldn't do it. I used to go home.
Did he live by himself? Was he?
All by himself. And he was back in the bush one winter cutting wood. He went back by himself with his team of slaves. He cut his leg. Put the axe in his ankle. But he had presence of mind enough to tie himself on the slaves. And headed the horses to home. Well, he passed out before he got home. But the neighbors seen the team coming in there, you know, and they couldn't see him because he was down. But they went to see what the team found him. Well, he was putting their blood to death.
Mm-hmm.
They tied him off. Well, it was 20 miles into a doctor. They took him in there, he recovered. And there was a nurse in there, and they kind of fell for each other, and he married her. Best thing he ever did. I cleaned him up, cleaned up the place, and she was a godsend to the community out there, you know.
Uh-huh.
That worked out pretty good. But what I started to tell you, I went there one morning, it was after freeze up, the heat was cold, it must have been 20 below zero. I hammered on the door, no answer. So opened the door and went in. All I could see is a pair of feet out sticking out the bottom of the bed. He covered the head was up, but the feet was out. And they were blue, but he said he was all right. But he had his head under the cover, you know. I couldn't figure that one out. Another time we got a hailstorm, and he was on the road about halfway home from town. And the hailstorm was like golf balls. Hail so quiet. Smashed all the little branches off the poplar trees. Oh, it really made a mess. The grain fields looked like they were plowed. And he was out in that with a straw hat. But it beat his hat to pieces. And there too, after he had a head on him, I don't know how he survived. His horses were all beat up and they hit for the bush.
My gosh.
Maybe they would have died otherwise, but poor old guy. But he wasn't an old man. He was only possibly about 35 at that time. But he had a lot of tough luck. I think it changed after he got the nurse. Because he got rid of that place and he got a better farm. Then he finally went into Calgary and worked for the UFA. United Farmers Co-op-like. That was the line he was meant for in the first place because he was educated for that. Then I lost track of him.
What was his name?
Noakes.
Nope.
Yeah. I remember he come in. We had a phone. There wasn't too many phones around there that time. I mean, at harvest time, he broke down. And he was phoning for parts for his binder. And it was, "Arthur A. Noakes," he says. And he kept repeating it, and they kept asking him over, and finally he got a little disgusted and hung up. But he had a very, very English accent. There's lots of things out there, you know, that you're different people. But the Farquharson family, they couldn't have been any poorer than they were. No, they had nothing. And they divided with everybody come along.
Is that here in B.C.?
No, Alberta. And I don't know whether you girls was into this or not, but you ever wear underwear made out of flour sacks?
No, I haven't.
My sisters did, and the Farquharson family too, but the old lady never bleached them. My mother always bleached them out for the sisters. And there was a Christmas concert one time. The old lady had three daughters, and they were in a Christmas concert. And the oldest girl was up there, and she dropped something, and she bent over to pick it up, you know, with her butt to the audience. And there was Robin Hood out there. Oh, boy. They put your door that schoolhouse down. that poor girl, and she was embarrassed something awful. And Robin Hood was there full of life. I seen those girls when I went back there after my wife died. I was out to their old place. There are all three of them. But that's just a little bit of the comedy that we're on into, you know?
Yeah. Well, what about, you know, when you were living here in BC and that, and you started working, are there any, you know, little stories from...
Well, they was logging in there along the Ross Road that time.
Uh-huh.
Martin Ross had a sawmill just south of the Fraser Way there. It was on Dad's property. But that was in there before Dad come, the mill.
Uh-huh.
I hauled logs into that mill, drove the Hindus team for one summer. And the Hindus had the contract for logging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one fella come in here, they called him Mershan. He was one long, raw bone guy. But a little nicer than most of the Hindu people.
Yeah.
And he used to come to the store that my mother was alive then. Mm-hmm. And she always had a piece of cake for him. Oh, he thought she was great, you know.
Yeah.
He always called her mother. And she was quite honorable. But he'd come in one day and his face was all swelled up. He'd hit a hornet's nest back in the bush. And he asked her, "Mershans," he said, "what in the world has happened to you?" "Oh," he says, "I'm more than butterflies." He said, "awful hot."
there were from butterflies, yeah.
Boy, there used to be lots of them in this country.
Yeah.
And before they cleaned this land, there used to be lots of bee trees too, you know, hollow cedars, a swarm of bees would get away from somewhere and then hit them.
I've read that in some of the history that I'm looking at, yeah.
We used to get bee trees behind you, get honey, lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all gone too.
Yeah.
And there, but there was no work or anything, and we grabbed onto anything. Somebody had set a fire that would get away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's after I was married. And a bunch of us got in there to fight this fire. Well, we got it all under control, all the room in the corner. We kept that one going, so we kept a little extra time. God.
It was hard getting work back then, wasn't it?
And there was somebody's beehives went through the fire. The fire didn't hurt them, but there was no honey for them when they came back. We got the honey. Our kids, well, I didn't have them all that. I think the two or three oldest ones are all we had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We had four in the Depression before it was finished.
And they all went to school here, didn't they?
They all educated here in B.C. And they're all still living here within, well, they're on their own place.
They're all close to,
except younger son Herb. Mr. Williams Lake, he sold his piece of road.
So they're all still close anyway. You know, your family hasn't gone that far.
No. Well, when Phyllis got married, she left. But she was away from the time she finished with her training anyway. She nursed in Clonkeel. She worked nursed on the island. She was a nurse's aide, I should say. And every time that her man moved, well, she moved
she
too.
She moved with them.
That's before they were married. They married here in Alderville, United Church.
I read that in the clipping that.
That little old church that's down the road.
That little one down there?
Yeah. You talk about comedy. They had a blizzard just a few days before she was married. And the roads were a mess. Anyway, Dad was living with Ada in Vancouver at that time. And of course, they were all coming out to the wedding too, you see. Well, they were late coming in. The roads were bad. And the usher at the door, he stopped. He wouldn't let Dad in. Dad says, "I'm going in there." And he says, "You're nobody else going to stop." He says, "My granddaughter is getting married." He says, "I'm going in." And he was in too.
I read that part of that in the I've got it over there on the desk. It was a nice wedding. Very nice wedding.
Well, it was quite a wedding. Lila was married in Edmonton. We went to the wedding. We're both military weddings, like RCMP. Both girls married places.
Oh, both of them.
Yeah. But Buzz Hamburg, Phyllis's man, he'd been dead 10 years or more. Died of brain tumor.
Oh, really?
Lila's man is still alive. Keith Sim, maybe you know him. He was policeman in Langley. He was policeman in Abbotsford.
Keith Sim?
RCMP. Keith Sims.
Is that your son-in-law?
Yeah. He's selling real estate now. He was a prairie guy too. He raised in Manitoba. But you never know, when he got over here, he kind of got a little up on us. We take the son Jim, Sonny as we always call him. He got that in the Crippled Children's Hospital, where he got that name. That's where he spent, well, he was possibly pretty well a year old when he went in there, and he was a couple of years in there. And the matron in that old hospital was Miss Erskine. She never had been married, I don't think. And he was a kind of a sunny little guy. And of course, they spoiled him in there, and he stayed with him all his life, too. And he came home and he was sunny. Miss Erskine had named him, and he stuck. He didn't particularly like it, but he won't tell you he's Sonny, he'll tell you he's James, or Jim.
Where was the children's hospital in those days? Is that still Vancouver?
It's the old hospital. It was out on 57th, I think, off Main. I believe that's where it is. I'm not just too sure on that. What was that, Queen Elizabeth? Or something that sponsored that. I'm not just positive on that. I don't even know if it's still in existence. But he spent a lot of time in there. And when he came home, you see, he'd had a bad leg. They straightened it with pressure and they never operated. I made him a tricycle. And he wouldn't even go to the outhouse without that tricycle. But we had geese there. And down by the creek, the geese was in there. And this old gander took him, knocked him off his tricycle. Slapping the heck out of him with the wings. Wife come tearing down there. She got that old goose by the gander by the neck. I don't know how she did. He was heavy. And she swung him around, and I thought she finished him off, ring his neck, and she threw him out. He just laid there. I thought maybe we'd have roast goose. But after a while, You got up and you come around again. But the wife was that mad. Ordinarily, she couldn't have done that. But that old gander kind of respected her after that. And we used to get water from that creek. We had a plank across it to go to the middle of it on that plank, and dip was deep enough. Mm-hmm. And one day the geese come down there and she fell in. Now you talk about somebody mad as a wet hen, she was. So we got rid of the geese.
They can be quite dangerous geese.
Well, when I look back, she sure put up with a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
She's one good woman. That's why I credit the kids being halfway decent, because their mother.
Mother was home to look after them.
Well, I was away a lot. I never had any work done, and I had 2.5 years in the Army. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to get home once in a while. I never got out of Canada, so. Sometimes I had a pass, sometimes I didn't. I never got caught, so I wasn't guilty. But they had their mother all the time. When they come home from school, she was there. Of course, we all worked out too sometimes to get a nick and berry season or something. The whole family would be out there. But she was always with her kids when they needed her.
Yeah, it's really important.
She was the youngest of a family of 10.
Your wife. It's a large family.
Yep, they're all gone, every one of them.
Every one of them now?
Her brother Reenie was mentioned in that one paper there. He died here 2 years ago. He must have been getting off close to 100. Mm-hmm. He quite a bit older than her. She was the baby out of her family of 10. Mm-hmm. She had nieces older than she was.
Oh my goodness. You never let us know how you met your Flory. How did you meet Flory?
Pardon?
How did you meet Flory?
Flory?
Yeah.
She's a mail order girl. Ask her.
Ask what?
No, there's a...
Oh, no.
There's an outfit there. When actually, it's a branch of a certain church. They have a bit of an office out at Asheville. That's out near Chase, B.C.
And
they have an ad in the paper there that... Or seniors, or anybody like widows, anybody want to meet a friend?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wrote to them. And evidently she did the same during the case.
Oh.
And she was one of the names we gave.
So you could say
three names.
Yeah. And, so you wrote back and forth?
There was one in Westminster. I wrote to her. Just, I thought maybe the closer home. Oh, what a snotty letter she wrote back.
Oh my goodness.
She didn't want no damned old fool like me, she wanted a young man. Yep. I got quite a kick out of it, you know. I wasn't looking for anything, I just wanted curious to meet of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another one way down in Ontario. She was an English girl too, born in London, famous Glory.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote back and forth a little bit. But the one that seemed to get the most attention was Glory.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you write back and forth before she came?
Not too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned over to Ireland to see her. Well, that's where I made my mistake. That was, we married in about 3 months after. Less than that. That was November, I guess. We married in February.
Thanks.
See you.